Item number eight is a subdivision and rezoning application for the northwest corner of Lee Boulevard and Barden Street under file DASZ 25-2010. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following items will be also be heard at the same time, namely, item nine, which is an application for variance for the northwest corner of Lee Boulevard and Barden Street under file DAB 155-249/2010D.
Okay. Would the applicant please come down? Which is Miles Kraut? Welcome, Miles.
Thank you. Thanks for your time. I'm just going to spread my little renderings.
I'm going to grab a coffee while you're getting ready.
Yeah, sure. Take your time. Yes.
Really?
This morning.
How big?
Like 6 pounds, 20 inches long.
Oh, small, eh? Small. Is everyone doing well?
Yes. His wife's not a very tall lady. Like Rob's a pretty big guy.
Yeah.
He's pretty tall. His wife.
Go ahead and
start. I can hear from here. Okay, thanks. Yes, hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. Thank you. My name is Miles Kraut. I'm the president of Karma Development Corporation. We are the folks who purchased the land in question this evening and are responsible for the development of it. We've recently completed in 08 the Mosaic condominiums, which is 118 units located directly to the east of the site in question. We've also done Chancellor Gate, and we are currently building Centennial Park, which is 92 bungalows located in between Centennial and Lockwood in River Heights. That's currently under construction, and it's a very similar product to what we propose for Lot 1 of this development. We've done some brief history on the land. We did a phase one environmental report on it, and it's come up that it has always been farmland. It has a rezoning of RMFS currently, which is a multifamily zoning, allows for you to build four-story high complexes consisting of 353 doors in total. So under the current zoning, RMFS, we're allowed to build 353 doors. This development has taken many, many months to put together, and we've consulted many different people along the way. We met with the neighbors. We handed out 150 brochures to the individual mailboxes for the people who are directly in line with our development. We also put an ad in the Free Press that ran for 3 days, and we had a total of 15 people attend our public meeting. It was last Monday at the church right around the corner from the site. We also worked hand-in-hand with the City of Winnipeg departments, many of them. Some include the Fire Department, Winnipeg Water and Waste, the Streets, and, of course, Property and Planning Department was consulted, and there were many, many meetings in regards to this as well. The Fire Department wanted to make sure that the fire trucks had wide enough roads and were safely could enter the development in case of an emergency and be able to exit it as well in a timely manner without having to turn around and back up and do all kinds of maneuvers. We were happy to accommodate Don Franchek and the guys down at the fire department with that. They also wanted to make sure that we had the appropriate amount of fire hydrants in place. I believe there's one in every 300 feet, and they were allocated in the appropriate places. So once again, in case of an emergency, they can be accessed quickly without a lot of signage. Of course, we have to make sure that we, you know, fit in with all the strict fire codes and have our plans in place and whatnot. So satisfied the fire department. Next, we met with the Winnipeg Water and Waste, and they kind of threw us a curveball. They had no studies for the underground water and waste in terms of capacity and flows. So the bigger sewer system was put in 89, and they had very little studies. So we took it upon ourselves to do all of the due diligence and the studies. We hired Stantec Consulting and ordered them to do flow meter readings. This process took 2 months, and after which the data was submitted to the City of Winnipeg, and they reviewed it, and it turns out there's plenty of room, plenty of capacity for a multifamily development like this. Back in 89, they had the foresight to put in wide enough pipes. I guess they assumed that there'd be multifamily in the area, and as a result, they put in the appropriate pipes. Good news for us. The streets were also consulted, and we met with him on many different occasions. They were concerned about the traffic, first and foremost. They wanted to make sure that there wasn't a lot of traffic on Lee Boulevard, that the vast majority of our traffic entered and exit off the controlled intersection on Barnes and Bison. They also wanted to make sure that we had the appropriate ins and outs, not too many, not too close to stop signs, and so on and so forth. So they've looked over our plan and told us kind of where to put it, and we listened to them, and we met their criteria as well. Property and Planning Development had lots to say about our project. They wanted to make sure that the elevation wasn't too intrusive, that we weren't building a product that, for example, someone with a four-story building can peer into the existing dwellings and infringe on people's privacy that they've been accustomed to enjoying before we came into place. And that's also why we staggered the project like we did. So if you look at our design over there, we have approximately 67 bungalows on about 4.5 acres. And then behind that, it's scaled up to a two-story townhouse style, approximately 27 of those. Then a parking lot that accommodates the RMFL that we're applying for today. And behind that, we have our two towers that go up approximately 10 stories or 110 feet. So it's scaled back as we move towards Bison. They also wanted to make sure that we weren't building something that was too dense for the area. Like I'd mentioned before, we were allowed to build 353 doors under the current zoning, and they were more than happy when we brought to the table our under 300-door development. So it's actually 20% less than what's currently zoned for. Also, parking was a big concern of theirs. They wanted to ensure that we housed 100% of the parking for our residents and their guests on our site, that we didn't utilize any of the parking on Barnes or Lee Boulevard for our residents or their guests. It was cluttered enough as it is, and we wanted to free it up for the community and the existing residents there. So just to kind of break down the parking a little bit, because I know it's a big concern for a lot of people, there are the three-bedroom bungalows. There's approximately 26 of them, and there's 104 spots for the three bedrooms. The two-bedroom bungalows, there's 41 of those, and there are 82 spots for those. And then the two-story townhouses, like I'd mentioned before, there's 27 of those, and we have 74 spots for those dwellings. Now, the two stories in the back, consisting of 200 units, 100 in each phase, we have 304 spots for those as well. Now, the City of Winnipeg requires 1.5 spots per door, and we have 2 spots per door, so significantly higher than what the bylaw states now. It's also been my experience with the Mosaic condos that the vast majority of the people who live in the towers are students. Most of them are one-bedroom units. As a result, they only have one car. A majority of them don't have a car at all. They choose living in this area just for that, the proximity. It's very close to the university. They don't need transportation. There's public transportation and so on. They can walk to school, too, on a nice summer day. So lots of parking for everyone. And we've also put in a path that's lined with trees that allows people to access Lee Boulevard. There'll also be open access on many different areas so people can get to the bus stops on Barnes or down to Lee. They can cut across and go to the Super Value. So even though the project is fenced with mostly 4- and 6-foot fencing, there'll be many of openings for the public to access. So it won't be just our residents and their guests. It'll be for public as well to utilize the pathways that we're installing. We'll be planting over 350 trees and shrubs in this development. We'll also be putting in two sidewalks, one on Lee Boulevard and one on Barnes. And that's something I wanted to talk to you guys about. Is I've noticed in the report it says a paved sidewalk, and generally in the area they're mostly asphalt sidewalks that are a little bit wider than most. So I just wanted to leave that up to you guys to make sure that you wanted a paved sidewalk, not an asphalt sidewalk, keeping with all the other sidewalks in the area. We're also dedicating 2.5 meters on Barnes, and that is for, the only thing I can figure that out for is it's for the widening of the street. So in the future, I believe the streets determine that they may need to turn it into a four-lane street. As a result, they're asking us to dedicate 2.5 meters of our property to the city of Winnipeg, which we're happy to do. We're not building apartments here. We're building condominiums, and they're mostly higher-end type condominiums. The average selling price will be between $170,000 and $320,000 per door. Like I mentioned, they're condominiums, so as such, they're governed by a condominium association. What that means is down the road, 10 years down the road after it's built, and the weather is starting to fade the paint, and the trees are starting to get really big, there's contingency reserve funds in place to keep up the project. So it'll look exactly like day one for many, many years down the road, 50, 100 years down the road. There's plenty of money in the contingency reserve in order to maintain and upkeep our property for years to come. Now, I also noticed in the planning report that they limited our numbers quite specifically. In lot one, you guys limited us to 86 doors. After we met with the fire department and had everything surveyed, our plans changed slightly. For example, in lot one, we don't plan on building 86 doors. We plan on building 84 doors. So it went down slightly. However, on lot two, instead of the 96, we plan on building 100 doors. We decided to make the units themselves slightly smaller, and that way it keeps the price down for the students and people around there. And lot three, likewise, instead of 104, there's 110. So I respectfully ask that if we could put like a plus minus 10% in there. It's just so exact, and at this point, we really don't have everything surveyed and laid out, and things may change slightly. You guys be willing to do that, that would be great. That's really all I have for now. I'm looking forward to answering some questions afterwards.
Okay, thank you, Miles.
My pleasure.
Any questions? I'll hear what everybody else has to say. Okay, you'll have a chance to come back. Okay, also listed in support, and again, you can just register your support. You don't have to come down, but you're welcome to if you would like. Nicole Rexer. In support. Barry Greenberg. In support. Robin Lee. Welcome, Robert.
Good evening.
Or Robin.
I just thought I'd pick up on a couple of points that might be brought up later on with respect to traffic and et cetera. And I just wanted to point out again that the city, you know, during Miles's due diligence period with the city and his numerous meetings, that I really feel they worked very diligently to make sure that this development would have as minimum impact on the existing streets, Lee Boulevard and the other residential streets in behind. And I believe that the report does state that by having the sole access to this development off Barnes really does alleviate the vast majority of any traffic concerns that may be out there in the community. I also attended the public information session last week, at the church and sort of listened to what people had to say. And there were definitely some concerns about construction, traffic, and making a mess, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm very familiar with those types of issues. And I just wanted to point out that, you know, as a contractor for a development such as that, the city is going to impose very large deposits and damage deposits upon me, probably at least $25,000, to make sure that any streets, sidewalks, curbs, medians, landscaping, anything that might get accidentally damaged or made a mess of during construction, the city basically has my money to make sure that it gets rectified. They also do monitor the amount of, if there's any dirt, gravel, or mud brought onto the street from the development to make sure that we do keep it clean. So I do want to make sure that that's clear to everyone. And I think I do have a reasonable track record in that respect. You guys might be familiar with the rebuilding of Creek Bend Road that I've been working on all summer. There was quite a bit of concern by local residents, quite a lot of emails, phone calls, etc. But I think without even having to deal with anything like that, we actually took it upon ourselves to make sure that we did what was right for the community, to minimize our impact as much as possible, spent a lot of extra money on temporary roads and signage to make sure that it was a very safe and hospitable construction site. So that's what I wanted to add. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Robin. Any questions? Hearing none. In support, Ernie Walter? Ernie Walter? Okay. Thank you. And is there anybody else in support that didn't fill out a sheet? Okay. Now, in opposition. Same rules. If you want to come down and make a presentation, you can, or you can just register your opposition from your chair. Is there a spokesperson for an organization or a coalition or committee? Hearing none. Okay, I will read out names. Nancy Rutherford and Gord Thiessen. Welcome. State your name and address for the record, please.
I'm Nancy Rutherford. I live at 10 Raphael. When my husband and I purchased our home on Raphael, I mean, it hadn't been built yet, and the current city maps at the time identified that Barnes went between Bison Drive and Bairdmore, Shore exited onto Bison Drive, and Lee exited onto Waverly. Currently, Shore does not exit onto Bison Drive. Barnes does not go to Bairdmore, which means all Fairfield residents must exit either via Barnes or via Lee Boulevard onto Waverly. Now, the problem with exiting onto Waverly is the construction with Waverly West. The traffic has increased exponentially during the time we've lived there, and it has become very difficult during rush hour to get out onto Waverly from Lee Boulevard. That leaves us with Barnes. Barnes is very convenient, and I'm sure that if you asked all the people in Fairfield Park, that is their exit of choice due to availability at 8 o'clock in the morning. I look at this, and I see a great number of more cars coming out during that time frame. And my concern is that during rush hour, exiting will be very complicated. My thought would be that did not build the towers until Keniston Boulevard was extended to the perimeter and Waverly no longer went that far. That would, in my view, relieve a great deal of traffic on Waverly and allow us to exit that way, taking the stress off Barnes altogether. I think that would satisfy everybody. That's my opinion.
Okay, just a couple of things that I want to ask everybody that comes up to talk about this, if they're aware. Like, under the current zoning, they can do this type of density.
They can, absolutely.
Right, so so the issue is the traffic. Like, we've already got the construction of Waverly, the twinning of Waverly and the extension of Keniston in the budget. It actually would have started this year, but wasn't for
right.
The fact we're doing an environmental assessment. I don't know how long it's going to take for them to build out to do the towers. My sense is those things would probably run in alignment pretty well together. But so you believe that the Keniston extension will greatly solve the issue of traffic on Waverly?
I believe so, because we have a huge amount of traffic coming from South Point that has just started in the last year. And my belief is they're going to Keniston anyway. I could be wrong. Maybe only half of them are going to Keniston.
But still,
that would be a huge release of the traffic. The other option would be to put a set of lights at Lee Boulevard, because right now you can sit there for a long time, dependent upon the flow of traffic. It's not a guarantee at any point.
Yeah, and I think one of the problems we have with a set of lights at Lee and Waverly is that would happen with the development of the lands, which I call the no man's lands, because
exactly.
It's all that fractured ownership in there. Okay. They're good points, and we'll certainly take them into consideration as we go
Thank
forward.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy. In opposition, Raj Fangura. So you'd like to speak later? Okay.
Sorry, we can't do that. Otherwise, everybody just changes.
Yeah. Come on down, Raj.
Right, Raj Fangura, 282 Southbridge Drive. But I'm 282 Southbridge Drive. But I'm a home builder with lots on Lee Boulevard there as well. And I just want to speak to the traffic issue as well, and just stating that the traffic has increased exponentially also with the development on Lee and Shore, and with Barnes being the only exit as well. I believe that at this point, it is going to be an extreme stress on the traffic situation there. The skyline as well, I'm not sure if the elevation of the high-rise is going to be reviewed here or not, because I don't see any pictures there in relation to the houses, but the skyline there will be completely covered on both sides because of the development at Lee and Shore. There's a high-rise condominium there. It kind of changes the whole perception of the area with high rises on both sides there. No longer makes it seem like a small residential area. It makes it seem like a bunch of residential houses in a high rise area. And I believe that being surrounded in that way really changed that perception, dropped the values down, and it would make it more difficult for me or anyone else to resell a home in that area with that perception as people are driving in. That's all I have to say on that.
Okay. Questions?
Type of density can go on that land already, and it existed there even before Fairfield Park was built?
Oh, I realize that the zoning states that, but for a 353-door dwelling, but that's for a four-level, which I believe is a basement and three-story above ground, or is it a four-level above ground? Either way, four-level above ground is a much different elevation than what the picture shows here.
But, Raj, you understand they can build that four-story right up against Lee Boulevard.
Pardon me?
You understand that they can build that four-story right up against Lee Boulevard.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I understand that. I'm just saying that four stories for an elevation and skyline is a different perception than the, I believe, 9 or 10 that I'm seeing here at least.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Ross. In opposition, Upcar S. Baines. Opposition? Opposition, Harjit Shahal. Registered. Jian Chang and Hong Chang.
Okay. Okay, Jan Trin, address 1234 Lee Boulevard. First of all, I missed that community information session on November 1st. I'm not aware, actually, the ad running on the free press either. So I guess here I'm mainly concerned about, you know, also the traffic, parking, those issues. But I'm glad, actually, probably, you know, in the first information session, some of the issues have already been discussed or addressed. I'm also glad to hear, you know, they have already taken some those issues into account as they try to expand that Bond Street. But from what I heard, you know, from the, you know, speakers from the company, looks like that Lee Boulevard, that east section, the Lee Boulevard actually is quite, you know, sort of main road now, but the west side was developed way ahead, actually, the east part. And but unfortunately, the east part does not have a service road, unlike, you know, the west part. So when we actually were there, you know, possessed the house, at that time, public transit was not actually provided yet. Now, the public, you know, bus coming from the Bronx and east part of the Lee Boulevard and then tend to Kessler. So, but now because there is no service road, we have to actually, you know, the resident use that Lee Boulevard, the space to back our vehicles to get out. And also because of lack of, you know, adequate space, people now parking their vehicles, additional vehicles along that street, make that space even more actually, you know, limited. From that point, you know, that perspective, I'm concerned to say with more, you know, the house built over there, we have to make sure we have some, you know, solutions to relieve this kind of increase in, you know, the traffic. Also because of that, you know, there are also some sort of safety issues, you know, because it's, again, the service road, the people, you know, especially the kids actually play in front of their house can easily from time to time, you know, step into that road. And for past actually, even yesterday, there was actually a cat killed by the traffic. And so I'm glad, you know, as I said, you know, something has been discussed, but I would just like to take this opportunity to express my concern and also offer my opinion. Like, you know, there might be some ways to mitigate this future potential risks for safety and also for the traffic, you know, jam. From this layout, as you can see, there will be actually some potential, you know, passage on the other end of this, you know, north side of this developed area. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe there are a couple of choices we can explore. One is that there is actually a road running north, south and north. That's Raffler? Oh, I guess that's all right. Yeah, that one, I'm thinking that one is actually aligned with their boundary of a developed area. If, say, we can either, first choice is to extend that road to actually join that future, you know, the passage road parallel to Lee Boulevard, and that probably will actually relieve some sort of the traffic load on the Lee Boulevard. That's one first option I can see. The second one is that, say, we can build another one, make, the, you know, that Lee Boulevard expand that one, make that one, that especially east part of the Lee Boulevard, the two-way traffic, I mean, basically extend that road, make that one a little bit wider so that will give you an additional space. The third choice, if say those two, actually I prefer we can go that way. If it's not possible, at least now we can put some either road bumps on that section and also set up the stop sign around that injunction, Ruffler and Lee Boulevard. So right now, actually, you know, we can see, you know, increasing traffic and also people speeding along that street. So that is most actually conservative, I think, probably, you know, a possible also, you know, way to do that. This, what I'm saying is that not really against this development, but this is just something, the outcome of that. Because, you know, the population of that area will grow up, and also, you know, potential, you know, the traffic now coming from developed Waverly area and also, you know, other relevant places. Because before, I'm thinking probably, you know, that a bond should join to Baltimore directly, but just because, you know, there is one single house blocked that passage. Now all the traffic from, you know, that other, you know, places has to travel through Lee Boulevard and Bounds. But that actually has some caused some issues. Basically, I hope I expressed myself clearly.
Thank you. You have any questions? Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Just for everyone's information, we also have a 37 name petition objecting to the variance on this application as well. And that is from Harjit Shahal and Upkar Baines. So I'll get back to our list of opposition. Sukhdan Baines. Registered. Thank you. Kashyap Raval. Thank you. Ranur Singh Gill. Thank you. Jake Hutchison. Says Jake. Jack. Name and address for the record, please.
Jack Hutchison, 1121 Lee Boulevard.
Welcome.
Thank you. I live on Lee, on the east side of Barnes. And Barnes handles a lot of traffic as it is. We have semis turning on to Barnes off of Bison for Superstore. There's only two lanes there, and if we have a semi get stuck there in the winter, we're probably just about bound into our area because we don't have many exits. I think there's only two exits. So if we block one, we can't accommodate the traffic onto Waverly. And that's my issue. The area was developed, and we find that a lot of people who are coming in there with their heavy equipment are damaging the cement. Within a certain period of time, they're going to have to upgrade the street, and we as the homeowners are going to have to pay for that. And it was just recently paved in that area. So, and I'll leave it at that. Okay.
Thank you, Jack. Questions?
Okay.
Thank you. Eden Mahanovic.
Hello. My name is Eden Mihanovic. I live at 1127 Lee Boulevard. I attend a previous meeting when they explained what they're going to do. As far as we know, already they have a right to build whatever, 67 houses, whatever. And I'm totally to oppose the big build any the big towers. Reason why is just the traffic issues. Because I really don't know how city councilors approve even before if they knew that we're going to have a certain amount of houses, that we're going to destroy every city property in that area, turn into the lots to make the profit. And you guys cheat us off the one of the parks that we had before that's turned into the lots. And technically, I don't know, you guys decided. It just, I will ask you to think twice what you guys did to us. And now when people turn their hard work and invest in the house, and that house is worth probably between 450 and up, we gonna see this now. That's kind of a big disappointment to me and probably to all Fairfield Park.
Okay, for the record, cheat is a strong word. I'm not quite sure what happened there historically, but I know that everything was done.
What park are you talking about, Eden?
The park that was before was the Fairfield now, and I
rules.
Think Barnes. It was a little park there, and it's not there anymore. It was turned into housing, into lots. It's owned by the city. Same thing around where was that street that you guys blocked. Around on Lee Boulevard, it was four lots. It's sold by the city. It was the green space, and contractors worked for a good month to clean that and everything on our probably expenses, and that lot city sold again. What I don't have a problem.
You're going to have to understand something here. There is the net green space, it was public green space on that site, has actually increased. The site that we're talking about tonight has got existing rights to do more density than what they're proposing tonight.
Yeah.
So it's not, there's nobody's getting cheated here. This is an application to bring a building to the site that could be totally different.
Okay, then
so
I
just want to caution you to be using terms like that we're cheating somebody. It's just not appropriate in this room.
Okay, I have another question is, like, it's just on the bonds, like, how on 120 yards somebody designed that it's going to be 500 vehicles, a minimum, in and out. If we approve whole project as is, that's over 500 doors, 500 units, and it's probably going to be two occupants with the two vehicles. That's 1,000 vehicles, and we have only one lane to cross the block. Of the bonds to cross the buy zone, only one lane. I don't know if this approved before Superstore, before Auto Park. It's there now. And now, if somebody turning to Auto Park or Superstore, three vehicles, you have to stop and wait. With all that increase, that means we will stop the light on the buy zone. We will stuck in the traffic there. We will block the Bison Road. That's huge. That's probably, we have over here in front of us probably more vehicles in this development than what Fairfield has now, as is. And it's traffic. It takes quite a bit of time to pass the light. My second thing is about the company. I really don't trust this company because we, as people that live around there, we had issues before when they built a previous building. And as one of the contractors opposed and says, like, they're going to put the $25,000 deposit, is that enough for next couple of years that I have to, my kids, they can't skate, they can't ride the bike, I have to watch when somebody drives the Baco, I have to watch when somebody drives the semi. And is that kind of equal to all taxpayers to say yes. The reason I'm saying this is because I called the city to clean the Lee Boulevard about 3 months in a row. And I left a couple of messages for my counselor. And my answer from supervisor is they have a permit, and when they are done, they have to clean up. But what happened if this project go for 5 years? As so far, city didn't enforce anybody to clean that Lee Boulevard. Not even once. No. And I will gladly invite all of you guys to walk tomorrow through the Lee Boulevard. And one more thing. I don't know if you guys are aware that we had a flood a month ago on Lee Boulevard. But I think it would be better that somebody forced to clean. I don't ask the city to clean. Force the contractors to clean on a weekly basis as is. Okay.
Can we talk about the issue at hand here? This is the rezoning.
I'm totally to oppose, and that's one of the reasons. Traffic, safety.
Okay.
And just one of, if any of the vehicles stuck here on the Barn Street, how are we going to go? Do I really have to wait again that they slow us down and put the stop that somebody, the truck, is turned in? And I will allow, and I voted for all this, that they could build a tower if they have a different access and off the bison. Okay. That it's not off the bison right now.
Gotcha. Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions? Hearing none, thank you. Okay. In opposition, Gumayo Basan. Registered. Okay. Parajit Banju. Is there any other people in opposition that haven't filled out a form? Anyone else for information? Okay. Welcome. State your name and address for the record.
Thank you very much. My name is Paramjit Bangu. I live on 72 Raphael Street. I understood that under the current zoning, they can build four-story, but I could not understand what is the proposal for new change. If they can explain for the new zoning change, so what are the lot number one, if I can understand.
The stuff right out on Lee Boulevard is the zoning staying the same. It's the stuff that's back at where the two towers are.
What are these, two-story or one?
Bungalow and then two-story. We'll ask the applicant when he comes back down again. They're bungalow and townhouses, two-story.
Is there any entrance to the Lee Boulevard?
No. I believe that's what the proposal is. I'll check with them to make sure that those are single-story on Lee Boulevard, but I think it goes up one-story, then two-story in the first front lots.
RJ, can you speak into the mic? You can bring that back with you and speak into the mic so we can all hear.
Like on the first row, is it two-story or only the bungalow? If they can explain, I would appreciate. Thank you.
Okay, we'll clarify that.
Right, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, would the applicant please come back? Miles.
Hello. Yes,
Miles.
I'm happy to.
Just take it back and speak into the mic.
Okay, yeah, just to clarify, these are all one-story bungalow houses. The
There are six attached in a row. Some have four and some have six, but they're one-story bungalows. And then behind it is two-story townhouses. So right here is two-story townhouses. Then we have our parking lot. Then we have our two towers. So we tried to scale it up and keep it as least intrusive as possible.
Okay.
I just wanted to clarify a couple of things. First of all, we are not building 500 doors. A couple of days ago, it's come to my attention that a gentleman went and canvassed the area looking to get the names on that petition, and it mentioned that we were building 500 doors. That's not the case. We're building 294 doors, not 500 doors. Next, there will be no traffic entering or going onto Lee Boulevard at all. This is all off Bison. I know the vast majority of the people who are here today live on Lee Boulevard. I'd like to assure them that all the entrance and exits will be off Bison. So the superstore is right here. This is where everyone will be entering, right off Barnes. And this is one entrance, and then the other entrance into our condominium towers. There will be no semis entering or exiting anywhere on Lee Boulevard. If any of the material is dropped off, it'll be off Barnes once again. Trying to address some other relevant issues. So once again, under the current zoning, we're allowed 353 doors. We're building 20% less than that, 294 doors. There is also, we are dedicating 2.5 meters to the city of Winnipeg for the future expansion or widening of Barnes, if need be. Would you gentlemen have any questions for me?
The yes. One thing that was raised... the one thing that was raised that I wanted to have a conversation with you about was, I think it was Nancy Rutherford was the lady's name. She brought up the idea that we've got the twinning of Waverly and the extension of Keniston going on, that she believed that by staging it so that you couldn't build the second tower until that work was complete, which is probably, I mean, it's in the budget, it's in the works right now. So it'll probably be complete within 4 to 5 years. Would that work within your time frames?
Unfortunately,
to hold back one of the towers?
I don't believe it will work exactly. We'll probably be done. Well, we're phasing it out into two phases. So it's based on, customer response. If we sell out quite quickly, then we start building sooner. We typically sell 75% of our dwellings before we start construction. We plan on starting the marketing this spring, hoping that we have 75% sold out in the next 8 to 10 months after that, and then I believe the build time is around 15 months after that. So you're looking at approximately 2.5-3 years, as opposed to the 4 or 5 years it may take to.
So how are you phasing it? Like, are you starting with the bungalows, or?
We're starting with three products: the bungalows, the two-story townhouses, and one tower. It'd be lot two, and then we start moving on to, once that gets built and paid for, then we start marketing and selling the phase two, which is the tower and lot three.
So that would be at least 4 years out?
For both towers, yeah. But for the first tower, we hope to start construction, in the next...
But you could hold the tower back. Like, you could make the second tower conditional on the extension of Keniston being through to the perimeter, or 4 years.
Obviously that's a possibility. However, I wouldn't like to commit to that. Unfortunately, we had to pay a lot for the land, and we have a lot of carrying costs as a result. So I wouldn't like to be handcuffed, in case the city may take their time or something, some environmental issue may come up. You mentioned that you're doing an environmental search right now. It's possible that something may come up there. If that happens, then I guess we would kind of be in trouble.
Councilor Steeves, any questions?
I have none.
Any other, Councilor Swindell?
The plus or minus 10% that you mentioned that you were looking for, that's based on your 286 units?
Well, yeah, after we put all the pieces down and got it surveyed, it turns out there's 294 units in total. We decided to make the floor plans a little bit smaller, so there's some around 600 square feet.
Okay, so...
But the same bedrooms and bathrooms as before, it's just more doors.
There's a big difference between 294 units or plus or minus 10%. Plus or minus 10% could take you up over 300 units.
No, I'd be willing to accept the, I think it says 286.
It says 286.
286 plus or minus 10% from that number, the 286.
Well, that puts you up over 300 units.
10%, 286. We have 294 units planned, so...
294 units.
In total.
And how does it fall out on each lot? So you remain with 86 dwelling units on lot one?
Actually, there's less. There's 84 on lot one now.
Okay.
And then there is in lot... And then lot two has 100.
Okay.
And then lot three has 110 because of the two-story townhouse we're putting in there.
So you're fine with those numbers?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I don't think we have any more questions, so
thank you for
your
time.
Seat.
Appreciate
we
it.
Will navigate these recommendations. Councillor Swindell?
Okay, the first is on the subdivision and rezoning. I will move.
Before you do that, he asked about the asphalt versus the paved pass. Are we good on that?
Oh, yeah.
What did I make? Asphalt versus cement?
Yeah. We want concrete sidewalk, not asphalt, active transportation trail.
Okay. What's the reason for that, Shirley? Why do we keep asking for concrete sidewalks, especially when this is going to connect that community out to an existing active transportation or multi-use trail?
I believe I can answer that by saying that currently, there's a big debate going on about separating pedestrians from bicycles and skateboards and everything else. And what we want is a sidewalk that will get pedestrians to the bus stops.
And a multi-use path doesn't do that?
It would, but that might be an additional path in addition to the pedestrian pathway, not a combined path.
But right now... Council has said that asphalt multi-use pathways are acceptable.
Yes.
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 So what somebody might be thinking about doing isn't really germane to what we're doing here tonight.
The administration, though, feels that concrete pedestrian pathways should be the requirement here.
No. No. They want the option to do whatever work. I personally like multi-use asphalt trails because these slabs of concrete that don't, you got bicycles riding on the road, conflicting with traffic. The multi-use seems to me to be far better. And I know it's our policy right now that we can do that. And if somebody wanted to change policy, we'd have to come back through council. It's council that makes the policy, not the administration. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's better for the community to have the multi-use trail.
Okay, we've clarified that. Thank you.
I'll move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor? Contrary, carried.
That the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor? Contrary, carried.